Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hey. We're back. We're black. We're brown. Ambition. The curls is back and they're popping like before. Hey now.
My curls is back.
Mandy's back. Yes, Mandy's curls are back, honey. How are you, Mandra?
I'm doing much better. I don't sound better because I was just in Georgia and the pollen kicked my you know what. Mm-hmm. I don't want to draw too much attention to it, but do you see?
Okay. I love it.
If we draw attention to that, and if you're on YouTube, you know what I'm pointing to, okay? Yes. If I draw attention the thing sees itself in the camera, because I'm just like very casually trying to make sure that I cover up. That. Hoping he just thinks that this is just white noise and mommy's not doing anything interesting. It's spring break, y'all, okay? And the kids are here and the camps are closing at 2 p.m. Like, what?
I know, that's crazy.
I just got back from Georgia. Thank y'all. I had a lot of, I forgot what I said last week. I just know it was a blur and I was super sad and Tiff again carried. But I did get some sweet messages from folks and my dad, I'm happy to report. I went to Georgia for a few days. My dad is doing so well and he is looking so good. I know, Tiff, you're talking about, I took him to get his first haircut and I feel like 6 weeks.
He looks so handsome.
I even talked him into letting the guy shampoo it. I don't think he even knew. It's like one of these old school bar. He's been going to the same barber in Union City where I grew up for like the first part of my child. I don't know. All my whole childhood was like 5-year chunks in different places. So spent a chunk of time in Union City, Georgia, south of Atlanta anyway. So shout out to Kenny at the barber shop that I still don't know what its name is in Red Oak. Nothing makes me feel more normal than just fighting with my dad about directions in the car when I'm driving him. Oh, wow. Especially in old Atlanta. And I'm just like, yes, dad, I know. Take a left at the yellow sign and the short tree. You know, make sure you take a right at the short tree. Not the tall tree, but the little one. I done told you. You know what I mean? Like, I like to have the GPS on just for my own.
I know. Like, men hate that.
We're millennials. Like, we like to know what our next 5 steps are going to be. I like to look at the map and know that my little blue line is going to go the right way. And he just fought with the Jeep. Anyway, he stressed me out, but it was so fun. And my, you know who back there got to watch Pop get a big boy haircut. And but he's doing real well. He had visitors yesterday. And when he starts holding court and talking for hours and hours on end, I just like sat back and I was like, wow, a month ago, he could barely get 5 words out. So, oof, I almost said God is good. I've never said that once in my life.
Look at you. Come on over here, girl. I like the light music. Let it music.
Am I a church girl?
I guess I am a church girl. Okay.
Honestly, though, like the number of relatives I have who are pastors in Georgia, like I really ought to be more. But no, God is good.
Yes.
Period.
I love that.
Yeah. How are you? Are the cherry blossoms blossoming yet in Jersey?
Well, it hasn't reached its peak, although they, you know, start
this. This is a year, Tiff. I'm gonna come.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, you have to come. So I want to say
it's like early April that it reaches its peak. So you have to come. Like,
God, that's like next week. Okay.
No. So it's like within the next 2 weeks, they're going to reach their peak. So I'm excited. Although I'm not going to lie. I'm like, where are you? Maybe, you know, I feel like they pop, then they don't. But because I'm looking around like it's not looking poppy just yet.
They're gonna have to. Like, what's the, like, come on now.
I know. I'm like, they better. But yeah. So last week I fell.
Wait.
You know how most of the time as an adult,
not you too, Tiff. I mean, like, my favorite people are injuring themselves.
I was coming down the steps to my house, and I was listening to like this book that I've been listening to, and I don't know, I missed the last step. You know, you miscalculate like 1, 2.
Oh, all the time.
Oh my God. But usually you catch yourself. I mean, as an adult, I have not fallen as an adult. When I talk about fell, I mean, I fell like a 5-year-old. Like fell, knee to the ground, hip to the ground, on my back, looking at the sky.
Or are you so good at describing?
And then, you know, usually when you're 5 or 6, you hop up. I tried to hop up. My body's like, you forgot your 44. I laid there for a little bit just to gather my breath.
Wait, whose stairs were you on?
On my own. And then I laid there for a minute. Okay. And it was
wait,
like,
you don't even have that many steps.
I know. It's like 3 steps and I missed the last one. Aww. And then I just laid there and I said, whew, okay. So I had, first I had to just roll over to my side. I had to roll over to my side. Then I had to get on all fours and I said, oh, okay. And I realized, okay, your knees are scraped. That's official. And I was like, ouch. Oh, my hands are scraped. And then I got up and I said, oh, I'm okay. So I walked halfway up. I was going for a walk, my daily walk. Yeah. So I walked like, you know, maybe just like not even half a block. And then my inside voice was like, get your ass back home, Tiffany.
Oh no, are you okay?
No, I mean, I thought I was okay. And then this morning I woke up, I said, oh, I'm just rubbing my knee. I started limping. I'm like, why does my knee hurt? And I was like, oh, that's right. Tiffany took a tumble. So yeah, you know,
I don't think that was age. I think that's just, I know, you know,
I've not fallen like that in like,
it's real hard to go downstairs.
I mean, it was
while doing
tumble.
Something else,
you know, usually you do a little so something sorry. Where you're like, ooh, you know, you catch yourself. Yeah. No, it was, I mean, it was, I was like an ant with this like a turtle on a back, just like legs, feet in the air, like
yeah.
But as it was someone only, with you know, the weakest God is angles. Good. That's what we said. Maybe that's the episode name. God is good. And there was no car.
She do it?
And no people walking by. So I'm sure the rain caught it.
No one honked at you. No. Oh, isn't that the worst?
I know. Are you okay? I'm like, just leave me out. Just leave me to bake in the sun.
If you see someone who falls down, just ignore them.
I mean,
that's
it depends.
All they want in the whole world.
I mean, if they're elderly,
to be
you might
ignored.
Have to just,
that's different.
Yes.
But if they look like, you know, under the age of like, let's say 50, then just leave them alone. Yeah. And if they're not crying and screaming in pain, just walk, just turn around. You can check on them, but don't say anything.
Yes.
Turn around. You can be like, they look okay.
Yeah, they look okay. You know, like,
hide behind
okay.
a bush for 5 minutes just to be sure if you really want to, but don't talk to them.
The shame that we're gonna call it like GAWD. God is good with the T, Imani.
Yes.
God is good. Hey, BA fam. We're gonna take a quick break and we'll be right back.
All right, BA fam. Y'all know when it comes to financial advice, you have to trust your source. That's why you listen to Brown Ambition, right? And when I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. I've been a longtime fan of NerdWallet. In fact, I almost work there a couple of times because when it comes to financial experts and writing, they really know how to give you the best reviews of financial products. I honestly wouldn't sign up for a credit card today if I hadn't looked at a review on a site like NerdWallet myself. And honestly, if y'all haven't learned about NerdWallet, you're missing out. And with their help, what could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access, wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms of each credit card issuer apply.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
Because he is good, because I also avoided a major scam. Are you ready for this
oh,
scam?
Oh, you and these scams.
I know.
That's going to be the next intro for your book.
So this scam your next book. Is like, the thing is, they almost got me a few months ago, but because God is what? Good. It didn't work out. And then they tried to get me again twice this week. And I said, hold up, maybe I should Google. So who here's what happened. People? A month ago, this podcast that I thought, this major podcast reached out to me and said, hey, we'd love to have you on. I was like, yeah, sure. They're like, oh, we actually pay our guests. I was like, really? Okay. They were based in like Australia or something. I'm like, well, maybe that's how they do it in Australia. And it wasn't a little bit of money. I want to say it was like anywhere from $5,000, $6,000. It wasn't, you know, I said, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So everything looked legit. And then the day, like maybe it was a few days before we were supposed to do the podcast, they were like, we're going to do it on, we want to also go simultaneously live on Facebook. And I said, okay. And what had to happen was, and I've done this with like Chase and Bank of, not Bank of America, Prudential before, is that like you like basically kind of joint login behind the scenes.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, for whatever reason, it wasn't clicking. Like they couldn't access like my behind the scenes Facebook. And I was just like, oh, and they're like, well, we could do it on YouTube. And I said, okay. And then same thing, YouTube, it was only, huh, girl. By God's grace, it wasn't like they weren't able to link whatever they need to link behind the scenes. They said, hey, Tiffany, let's try again tomorrow because the podcast is in 2 days. I said, no problem. Then the next day I was waiting on Zoom and nobody showed up. And then I was like, this doesn't seem right. So then a week later they hit me up and said, oh, my bad. I'm like, well, that seems odd because I was supposed to be a guest this week. So
this is like a big show.
Yeah. I can't remember the first show. So I ignored it.
Okay.
So when they said, my bad, can we jump back on? I just ignored them. I was like, they're not serious. Then this week, Tracy reached out to me and said, two podcasts reached out. One saying they paid $3,000 and one say they paid $10,000. I said, really? And one was Crime Junkies. And I'm like, well, that doesn't have anything to do with me. So we're going back and forth. And they kept saying, how do you want to get paid? And Tracy said, something doesn't seem right because they seem more interested in paying you than actually like, what does Tiffany need to do? They're like, oh, she doesn't need to do anything. Really? Yeah. So what?
It's very, very fishy.
Yes. And so they kept being assisted. How do you want to get paid? I'm like, what's going on here? So then I said, Googled podcast Facebook scam, because it was the same thing. Let's link behind a Facebook, child. The reason, the thing, the way the scam works is whatever they're doing behind the scenes of Facebook, they take control of your Facebook page and steal it from you.
Oh,
and my Facebook page has like 500,000 followers and my YouTube. And I said, oh my gosh. So the first time, that's what they were trying to do. But God said, look at this fool, me, not them. Block. Mm. And I was like, well, come on over to YouTube and steal my stuff there. And then again,
were they like trying to get you to add them as an admin or something?
Something
or like,
to that
what
effect.
Were they
but
doing?
I didn't think too much of it because I had done it before. But these were obviously with legitimate brands. And so, yeah, so I Googled it. I found it. I said, oh my goodness. So I sent it to Tracy. I was like, any of these come in that, and then she said, I was like, Tracy, I'm gonna strangle you. She was like, you know what? I should have, there should have been a red flag because they were using a Gmail. And I'm like, wait, we use a Gmail. The thing is, we use a Gmail. We have Brian Fisher Podcast at gmail.com.
Yeah, but that's because we're cheap.
But Prime Junkie has like 3-4 million followers or whatever. And so that's why I didn't really think anything of it. I was like, well, we use a Gmail. But she said, I thought that was odd, but I know some people do. Anyway, that is the super scam, is that they get you to basically log them in behind the scenes on whatever, Facebook, YouTube, or whatever. They take it over and steal it from you. And they hope to dangle that we'll pay you. Obviously, they're not paying you. That as like, you know, to lower your defenses of like, oh, I can't wait to do this thing. Because some poor other guy, he had like a million people following him on Facebook or whatever platform, and they took it over. He never got it back. So just putting it out there.
They didn't like, I wonder if they, and did they hold it for ransom or something? Like, we'll give you back control.
No,
if you
like, they just use it because they're like, you know, to push whatever their agenda is, you know, like, because on Facebook, you could change the name. So now you got a million people following whatever scam you're really pushing,
that's,
you know?
Scary.
I know. Girl, this close. Literally this close.
Oh my goodness.
So.
Well, I'm glad that you trusted your spidey sense.
Girl, after almost being tricked like 5 times, it only took
Listen, you were having, you had a couple senior moments, okay? No offense to seniors.
I was
but
like, it's not working. Try again.
Defenses are low.
Let's try tomorrow.
But what if I give you my address? You just come here. We just do it in post. Person.
You want? You need my black credit card? I know. Gord was looking at me like, look at her, look at her. Would you look at her? Look at this. Come and look at her.
He's like,
oh my God. Well, anyway, right. We're here, and I get to keep my Facebook account. So this, that.
I will say, if you are, if you use any platform like that, and it makes sense to me, that kind of scam. I didn't know it was like, I hadn't heard of the podcast angle, but I will get occasionally solicited on IG behind the scenes, like, and these accounts will have hundreds of thousands of followers. And I think in this day and age, a lot of people do judge credibility based on how many followers you have. It's like the herd mentality, classic. Mm-hmm. Oh, they have 100,000 followers. They must be legit. But that's so not the case, because a lot of it can be like bots and, you know, they can work the system. But anyhow, they'll reach out and they'll say, we've gotten our clients, you know, or I'm reaching out. I represent clients who've been on Good Morning America, E! News, TMZ, like these big brands or whatever. And they want you to have a business call with them. Mm-hmm. And it's basically like you pay them to place you at these places. And for me, like maybe there are, it's one of those things, maybe it's like a teeny bit legitimate, like maybe I would never pay anyone for media placements. It's too hard to guarantee that. Tracy knows, like anyone who works in media knows you can pay a publicist or pay whoever, but guaranteeing a spot, like that's some BS. So for any, like if you have a business or you're wanting to promote something, please don't, like I would just say, be really cautious before you pay someone who's promising you that you're going to get placed somewhere, like viewed somewhere, get some kind of gig, because I feel like it's just money down the garbage.
Yes, absolutely. No, you're right. Because you could, a publicist, you're paying them to pitch you and to connect you. And basically, it's fingers crossed. And the better the publicist is, the better relationships you have, the more likely it is to get a yes. But there's still no guarantee. So someone to say they're guaranteed. Yeah. I've seen that a lot. Like, oh, if you know, I guarantee I can get you on Good Morning America. I've seen people actually say in Tracy's space, my publicist, they'll say like, you know, $10,000 to get you on Good Morning America, $15,000 to get, I know, it's so sus. And so just like, you know, and you know, like I said, a lot of these podcasts, the first one was like out of the country. So I thought maybe in Australia, that's what they do, you know? And also too, to your point, Mandy, that person that was reaching out to you from 100,000 followers, that might have been a stolen page that they're now reaching out, see?
Oh.
Yes, you see?
That's another way they could be doing
it. Go.
Listen, you just can't trust anybody anymore. And now with AI.
Girl, are you even real? Is this really you, Mandy? These curls, get close so I can see these curls.
And if they really dig in, they'd be like, hey, it's Issa Rae, Mandy. I've been watching. I just wanted to introduce myself and let you know I'm going to go on GMA. You can come with me. I'm like, Issa, I'll give you money. Wow, the internet is scurry. While I was in Georgia, though, my little news tidbit. So while I was in Georgia doing a 6-hour Lego project with he who must not be named over there, who's being very good, by the way, while I was spending 6 hours building that thing, my dad was next door in his room. He's taken over the ground floor of my, or the basement of my, the bachelor pad, the man cave of my brother's house. And he was next door watching like Channel 5 Action News, which I actually love to watch when I'm in Georgia, just to have it on in the background. It just brings back memories. Mm. And he's like, hey, Mandy, come check this out. And I'm like, God, when was the last time my dad was like, come watch something on the TV?
Aww.
And usually I would be like, no, I'm not getting up. It's not going to be worth it. I probably would have missed it by the time I get to your room, because that's how TV works. Anyway, but they were talking about 401ks, and he was like, because you know, I got my dad his first 401k not long ago, and he's really proud of it, and he's the stock market's up. He said the Dow's going up. What's that mean? Like, I was like, yeah, that means that investments are going up, so it's a good thing that you're invested. And he's like, now what do I do? I'm like, not a darn thing. Go back and mind your business. And there's nothing to do. Congrats. But I did log on to his and mine, and it was nice because I don't know. It hasn't been so rough this year, at least not for my accounts. But I think I saw like 12 and 14% they were up, which is definitely above average. So, hey, this is one of those times where you can pat yourself on the back for just putting money in and forgetting about it, and then just keep doing that. Unless, of course, you're Tiffany and you're going to get all the edumacation, you know, on how to invest, and you're going to level it up the rest of us who are just skating by. We don't have to do anything. Set it and forget it. Hey, BA fam, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Do you want to talk about your little investing? Not your little. Not
I know.
To,
yeah.
Not to demean it. Sorry. No, but you're investing.
No. Yeah. No. I mentioned last week that I asked Terry. She was on our show, but I asked her specifically, Terry Ijama, to teach me, like, if she would coach me, like, how much would it be to work with her? Because honestly, I have like four investment accounts or brokerage accounts, and I'm just. And certainly I invest with my, you know, I have my financial advisor who, you know, I love. But my concern is I don't like not really being able to fully understand what's all going on. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so not that I know anything, obviously I do, but I don't know. My desired outcome at the end of the day is when I'm no longer like the budgetista, I want to be able to make money other ways. And certainly you can invest in real estate. But it's not passive at all. You know, like real estate is pretty a hard, heavy lift. And business is for sure not passive, you know, which I'm enjoying now. But what happens when I don't? And I really want to, all my kind of like in the market girlies, does it take work? But you can kind of be in and then not be in as you kind of wanted to. Or you can set some of your investments to be more passive. Mutual funds,
you don't
got to
put on a lip or do any eye makeup.
Yes. You know? And so I kind of wanted that. I want that as an option because I already have some real estate. You know, I have business and I am in the market, but it's kind of like I've given that responsibility over to my financial advisor. And I wanted to have an even more intelligent conversation with her when it comes to, you know, investing in the market. So anyway, I asked Terry Ijama if she could coach me because one, I like the fact that one, she went to MIT. She's a smarty-arty. And two, I like the fact that she's
MIT,
an educator.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, I know, right? I was like, isn't that where the astronauts go?
Engineers?
Yeah, right? So I was like, oh, you smart. And then two, I like the fact that she's an educator. She's vice principal for like 10 years. I was like, because you know me, I'm always looking for a good teacher.
Wait, is this Terry you're talking about? She went to MIT?
Yeah, I know.
She must have mentioned that on the show, but I don't forgot.
I know. I was like, wow. And then I like the fact that she's already taught over 35,000 students, many of which have been able to make $1,000 in a day, not every single day, but in a day from scratch, you know, from like not having to know how to do anything. And so she said, yeah, of course, Tiffany, you know, I'll coach you. And then she mentioned that she had this 5-day challenge and, it's super beginner, you know, like if you're out here buying and selling, it ain't you. And, day one is all about the stock market, learning like what is the Dow? What is the S&P 500? What is all that? Day two, all about ETFs, because this is a way you can invest without having to learn how to read charts. And the ETF is like a bucket, you know, of investments that can be traded or bought and sold like a stock, right? That's day two. So day one and day two are all about knowledge. What I really like, the last three days are all about taking action. Day three is all about how do you open up your first brokerage account or a brokerage account, like what to look for, and we get to open it together. Like I said, I have four because every time I heard of one, I'd be like, open, but I don't do anything with them. Day four is buying your first stock. So I'm like I bought stock before. I've used like Robinhood and stuff. But for those of you who haven't, you get to actually do the mechanic of buying it. And if you don't have enough money to buy, that's okay because there's a simulator. So you can use paper money. And day five is selling that stock. So you really get like in these 5 days, it's really for beginners who are like, okay, I now have the mechanics. And later on throughout the year, you know, Terry's going to have other things that I plan on partnering with her with. But this is a great 5-day course. Now it's not free. You know, when I do a challenge, my stuff be free, but it's not free because Terry has a different business model.
Okay. Like
it is $97, you know, it's something to consider for five. Yeah. So it's 5 days. It's $97. And so if you think that, you know, like you're interested, and I know there's like a VIP upgrade, and I think I want to say you get like a 6 day, and you get like, cause I'm flying to South Carolina to teach. Like she has like some guests coming. So I am like doing like mindset about money or whatever. I'm not teaching investing, obviously. So I think there's like other like bonuses that you get when you upgrade. But it's something for me, I told myself, like, and my team has decided, like my sisters, we're all kind of doing it together. Like, is this something I'm even interested in? $97 is, I know it's a lot of money for some, but for many, it's not. A good way to see, is this something I'm even interested in? It's live, which I do like. So it forces you to take it now. It's April 15th to the 19th, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So you want to make sure that you're available.
Like a 5 day in a row.
Yeah, 5 days in a row. And then you might say, you know, you might do it and be like, you know what? I'm not ready for the market. Or you might be like, okay, now I've got the fundamentals and the mechanics under what's next. And so, yeah. So it's tradeandtravel.com, but I partner with Terry. So you add slash the Budgetista. So tradeandtravel.com/the Budgetista. And the people who use my link, I have like a bunch of like freebies and goodies that I'm adding to those people. Cause I want like low key, I would love to create like an investment club myself, not an investment club where I tell you what to invest.
Yeah.
An investment club where, but literally it's like an accountability partnership, you know?
Yeah.
Where we're like,
no, literally
did you
like
read
club.
That chart? Yes. Like literally that's what I'm like, I'm doing this because I want to, because it's one thing to have a teacher, but Terry's not gonna be able to teach me all the time. I want to be able to be in this club and say, did anybody get that understanding? And so one of the bonuses is that, like, if you use my link, is that like, I'm forming like just a temporary club to see if even I'm interested in that. Because I really want to have a group of women in particular. I mean, men can join too, but you know, ideally
that
women.
That sounds a little stressful though. Cause
having a club,
you know, cause I just watched that movie on the plane, Dumb Money. I mean, okay. I read it mostly cause I forgot my headphones. They didn't fit the jack. Thank you, Apple. So I read the subtitles of Dumb Money, the movie.
It's okay. Isn't that, Farnoosh in that? No.
Farnoosh, Tarabi?
No, it's not Dumb Money. No, never mind. I'm thinking about the wrong thing. Go ahead, Dumb Money.
America Ferrera.
Oh, yeah, yes, yes,
yeah, so anyway, this movie came, it kind of sucked because it came out during the writer's strike, so none of the actors really could promote it or whatever in the actor's strike. But anyway, it's a good movie. It's basically all about the GameStop stock run-up, like where the Redditors, it's like it started on this subreddit. I forget what it was called. I think it's literally like it was either a GameStop subreddit or at least a investing subreddit. And you know, Reddit has all these like teeny, like all these, you know, subs and a million different niches you can join. And they, yeah, a bunch of like regular people shorted or went and bought GameStop stock. I'm trying not to confuse those. And because they bought so much, it drove the stock price up.
Yes.
But then so many hedge funds had shorted the stock, which basically means they were going to lose money. They bet that it was going to go down.
Yikes.
By betting against it when GameStop started to go, they were just losing billions of dollars.
Yes.
And
billions.
They had to get bailed out. And it was very David and Goliath, and David got screwed and all that. Because, you know, they were all like, hold. Like they were trying to really hold the line. Anyway, so that's where my head kind of went. I'm like, it's good to have, I love the accountability and like having other voices. I get nervous because of our human inclination to sort of like follow the pack.
Yeah.
And sometimes that works out.
Yeah.
But then I think the education piece has to be there too. Cause at the end of the day, you got to know when it's like, that's good for you.
Yes.
And I'm going to do this.
Yes. And that's why I think having like, cause all y'all, one of my things, I feel like one of the, I don't want to say claim to fame is, but one of the things I pride myself on is being honest when I'm like, I don't know that. Like even a Gicker of Money, like, you know, the chapters that are not my expertise. I'm like, so this is not my expertise, but guess what? I brought in a booster. The estate planning, this is my attorney. The insurance, this is my financial advisor. There's, you know, like in the investment chapter, I brought in like two people who, one that Courtney, who talked about investing for wealth, and Kevin, who talked about investing for retirement. You know, so I think to me, a really good teacher is not here to know everything, but to help me make connections. And that's like the space that I'm leaning into, because I really believe that in through community, that is the way that we're all going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like if I could figure it out on my own, I'm sure I could, but I don't want to. So I'm like, I am going to vet and suss out the best educators I can find. But then ultimately, it's really the community that you really do the work with on a day-to-day basis. And so I'm trying to build some accountability for myself. I don't know what that's going to look like. Don't hold me to it, child. I might get tired. But at least for now, This is a great little jump start. 5 days, we might say, I hate it. You might say, I love it. And then I get to see, you know what? That actually was kind of fun. Let's do this community together. And I will bring the experts in here. Like, I don't really know how to do options. And I think really you should wait and really learn how to do basic investing first. But these are the types of things that there might be an interest. And one thing I am good at is I have access to some of the best of the best of the best. And I can reach out. Wanting to join, tradeandtravel.com.
If I was going to join anyone's club, it would be yours. So,
you know, because like, I mean, like I said, I am a student as well. And so when I'm vetting for this in particular, then I'm vetting for myself too. And we'll put the link in the show notes. But like I said, it's 5 days. If we hate it, then, you know, we find something else. But I'm just determined to do something beyond making money in this one way. There has to be ways that I can make money when I don't want to be forward facing. What does that look like? So,
well, you mentioned real estate like 10 minutes ago, but I'm going to try to use it as a segue anyway, because okay, one thing that we've totally forgot to talk about, which has only been a few days in the news, but just big news for anyone who's planning to sell a home, and kind of like a oops, sorry to anyone who recently sold a home, but the National Association of Realtors, which is like one of the largest, maybe the largest trade association in the entire country. They're just massive and they have so much power. They were sued by, I think it was a collective of homeowners. I think it was a class action. I forget. But anyway, they had to settle because they were sued over the realtor fee, that 6% commission that, you know, and now that the settlement's come through, that that 6% commission, the automatic commission that you would pay your realtor for selling your home, is gone. Like, they are not allowed to make it standard anymore. And apparently now you're able to negotiate with your realtor. Ooh. Like, okay, they may say, okay, well, standard, you know, we charge a commission of 6%. Well, now this means you can find a realtor who charges 4% or 5% or 2%. It'd be like, well, you know, Jenny down at Century, whatever, she's only charging me 2.5% commission. So, and use that as leverage and more bargaining power to negotiate down the realtor fee of 6%. Cause I mean, I think the average home price now is over $200,000. So it's not a little bit of money that you're paying, to have someone put your home on the market or whatever for you, and sell it. So it's a huge, huge deal and potentially a huge savings.
I know. So then like, is it going to be worth it to be a realtor these days? You know?
See, that's the thing. I mean, I still think it will. I think what it does is, because it doesn't eliminate the ability to charge it, it just stops people from like making it just, from having an automatic, like, you know, and I hope they come for car rental agencies next, because when I tell you, they will smile at you. It's just like when I'm going to make another Game of Thrones reference, because I don't know why. But anyway, Tiffany just like glaze over and just let it happen. when Danny at the end of Game of Thrones gets like shanked, oh, spoiler alert, whatever, it's been years, gets shanked while the love of her life is kissing her. That's what it's like to rent a car in America. It's like, oh, you know, especially in Atlanta where they got the Riz, they got that Southern Riz, and they're like, oh yeah, baby, like, yeah, oh, this is your son, oh, how cute, oh yeah, you visit in Atlanta, oh, that's nice, well, just, you know, just sign right here. And I'm looking at the thing and I'm like, the rental that I prepaid for was $280 for a 5-day car rental, and I'm like, ma'am, 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 and she's still smiling as we hand me a glass of sweet tea at the same time, might as well be, I'm like, why does the total say $500? She's like, oh well, you know, that's just the liability insurance. And I was like, yeah, but I answered that question. I said, I declined the insurance because my credit card covers it.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Well, some cards don't really cover this kind of insurance. I forget which kind it was. So, you know, that's what's added there. And I'm like, I was so ready to get out of there, but I was so mad because she didn't ask me about that type of insurance, and it was just added on. Yeah. And I'm looking at the bill like,
no, take that off. And like, yes, to the point where she had to go back in the system, printed me a whole new receipt.
Can you imagine?
Yes. Anyway, yeah, car rental agencies, we have to get y'all. We have to.
Because your point, Mandy, that's why I pay online, to your point, so I can do that. Because, you know, when you're there, it could be very easy to get sidestepped.
They're so good at it. Mm-hmm. They're so, it's such a betrayal. Like, they really make you, you know, they're so friendly, and they are getting, and I don't know exactly how they get paid to sell you that extra insurance, but I have to believe they get some kind of commission, or at least they get, you know, some kind of perks or benefit by being the big salesperson who can sell you the insurance. But yeah, that is such, it's so infuriating. Anyway, but realtors is the same way, but it's, I don't know, it's in another high stress transaction. Nothing is more high stress than buying a home or selling a home. And like, it's like, oh yeah, just 6%. And at that point, they're just hoping that, like, you know, all the money is so much money. What's an extra 6% going to be? But I'm, yeah, definitely add the realtor fee to the list of things that you can negotiate. There's a bunch of different things that you can negotiate on a home purchase, not just the, you know, the cost of the home itself, but the fact that realtor fees are getting added to the mix. Now, good realtors who, I mean, it does take some skill to put a home on the market, and maybe they can show you that they deserve the 6% because of XYZ. But to have like a realtor who's really brilliant at their job get paid the same 6% as a realtor who's really phoning it in. And I think a lot of people have felt that, like, their realtor is not really bringing it for them. Yeah. Now you can say, okay, well, I'm going to take, you know, this fee is not automatic. Like, you got to work for it and show me that you're, you know, doing something for me. And again, also you can just say, all right, well, this realtor is offering me 4%. I don't want to pay 6. What can you do? And see if they can lower it for you.
That's good.
Also, they owe like a bajillion dollars now. Let me read this really fast, and I'll post this link in the show notes. Yeah, they've agreed to pay $418 million over the next 4 years. And the rest, after lawyers get their pay, because you know they will, the rest will go to people who sold their homes. Oh, okay. So if you sold your home in recent years and paid what has been called inflated real estate commissions, the rest will go on to those people. So if you want to find out if you're entitled to compensation, check the lawyer's website. It's realestatecommissionlitigation.com. realestatecommissionlitigation.com. And especially this, I'm assuming this could apply to everyone. A lot of people sold during the pandemic, you know? So yeah, I would definitely run to that link, and you can definitely post that in the show notes for y'all.
Yes, child. I think, you know, you said if you or someone has been affected by mesothelioma.
Mesothelioma, eh?
What is mesothelioma? Like, I just...
Asbestos, right?
Oh, yeah. I don't even know. But
oh, the commercials you remember that, after watching The Price is Right in the middle of the day. Yeah.
Not mesothelioma.
You ever, like, watch cable news on TV these days?
No.
It's so funny because I'm like, I'm getting a picture of who does watch it. It's like a lot of varicose vein, you know, bunion commercials, like diabetes commercials. Oh. Very sad.
Remember that used to be the old white dude that was like, do you have diabetes?
Remember he was like, yeah, I think he's still like up there. Or did he die? He was in the news recently. I don't know.
I don't know. But I remember he had like that. He had like glasses and a mustache. He was, I think he was part of like some TV show. You know, but I just remember him saying, do you have diabetes?
No, they got the sugar.
The sugar.
I got the sugar.
That baby got the sugar.
I got the sugar.
And now it's time to boost up, break up, boost up, break up, boost up, break. Are you going to boost? Are you going to break? What you going to do? What you going to take? Ba-da-ba-da-ba. All right, Mandra, are you going to boost? Oh, look at him. He's reading. Is he reading a book?
I'm obsessed. Oh, I wish. No.
And there we go. Are we going to break? Are we going to break before he's about to turn up? Turn up Tuesday.
Heard me sing a little bit. Yeah, we have been. Dang. But 42 minutes is really good, buddy.
It is really good.
You say hi to mommy's work friend. Miss Tiffany.
Not a work friend. Don't do me like that. I'm a real friend.
I don't know how I'd describe you to a 4-year-old. My colleague? To Auntie Tiffy?
So, I don't care about that lady.
I know you're watching.
That was the laundry I was talking about.
That's the laundry you were talking about? That's awesome, sweetie. Can you say hi to Auntie Tiffy?
Hi.
Come say hi. Hi, Rio. Come
say hi.
You're going to boost a break with us?
You're on the podcast. He can't hear you.
Hi, Rio.
He can't hear you, but she says hi.
Oh.
All right. Now, can you go back to your couch and be quiet like I said? Yes, ma'am. Let him hear it. Yes, ma'am. Where's your words? Yes, ma'am. Eh?
He said, I don't want to see it.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Don't tell me in front of your friend.
I'll show them what a great mom I am. All right. Anyway. Yeah. We're doing good. We're doing good. That's not a tablet or a book. It is my phone on YouTube Kids. Mm. That is what that is.
Well, you know what? Speaking of which, I think I'll go first. I'm going to do a little break.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Just a little shady break since we're introducing baby. So as y'all know, I've got two nieces, Lily and Amelia. So Amelia is my niece that lives the closest. Her birthday's coming up. She's turning 7. Hello Kitty is the thing now. I'm like, but you said? She's like, girl, we're off that. Hello Kitty is where all the kids were. I know.
Wow.
So, of course, I had to get her all kind of Hello Kitty shenanigans, a plushie and notebook and stickers and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
So, if any of you are child psychologists, riddle me this. So, Amelia had, this is like her second or third spring concert that we've gone to, and she specifically said, Mommy, I want my aunties to come. Auntie Udo, which is me, Adochi, and Auntie Chi-Chi, which is Tracy. I want my aunties to come. Mommy, are they coming? Are they coming? Are they coming? Big thing. If you didn't come, then it's a big deal later. I want you to come. Where? I said, okay.
Okay.
So we go to the spring concert. They do a great job. Her school is like 80%, maybe even 85% Latino, because we're in the north ward of Newark, which is very Hispanic. So there's a lot of like, which is so cute. Millie's is out there. The one little brown chocolate chip with her friends. With her maracas or whatever.
Hey, she's getting cultured, all right?
She is. No, I love, first of all, her accent, when she says Spanish words, I'm like, that's what I'm talking about. She is like, her pronunciation is perfecto. Okay. So anyway, I love her. Her best friend, Alina, is this little Dominican girl. Everything is great. Mm-hmm. Afterward, you know, like we all rush to the back because we all want to see the babies as they come out. And, you know, be like, oh, I saw you. So they can see you. Because when they're on stage, they can't see you. Okay. So for the second or third year in a row, Amelia comes out. And I said, Mimi. She looked at me with horror in her face, like, who is this stranger? I was like, wait, I'm confused. She literally took her friend and put her friend in front of her and said, stand here. I saw her mouth. I have it on video. I said, Amelia!
Was she embarrassed? What? Of you?
Mandy, I said, Amelia. Then, you know, you taper off because now I've got 10 6-year-olds looking at you like, ooh, child.
You were too much. You bring out too much energy. You weren't cool.
I don't know. One of her friends who took pity on me said, Amelia, she's calling you. Amelia. And she looked at her friend like, thanks your friend. Like, her friend literally was like, Amelia, why would you do that to that lady? So
now her having secondhand embarrassment. I'm embarrassed
because meanwhile, these other kids, they giving selfies with their parents, hugs and kisses, all this stuff. And me, I'm just standing like, I do know her, I promise.
Oh my goodness.
So then later, her mother asked her and said, Amelia, because Amelia is a boundary setting queen. Amelia is who we would all be if we didn't grow up with trauma. So she said, Amelia, when we come, how come you act like you don't know? She said, I didn't see you. She said, that's not true, Amelia. You did see it. And then Amelia said, well, I don't want to talk about it. She said, oh, well, why not, Mommy? I said, I don't want to talk about it. And if we're going to talk about it, I'm going to leave the room. And I said, so this is what happens when kids don't get beatings. That was like,
the number of times that I've said the exact same thing to my dad. I'm like, oh, don't judge my parenting. You had it easy. You could go grab a belt and fix all your problems.
Girl, fix all of it. So like, all of so it. my friend Linda, who's a counselor, said that you want to get, I said, well, Linda, what are you supposed to do in that instant? Because old school says, child, hem that child up and say, well, who the hell are you talking to? And then new school parent says that you let them have boundaries. And she said, you do, here is kind of like how you navigate that. You allow her to say, I don't want to talk about it in the moment. And then you say, understood. But tomorrow at 3 p.m., we're going to talk about it. So you reassert yourself as a parent. Like, we don't have to talk about it in this moment because you're feeling whatever. But tomorrow or tonight at 6 p.m. after dinner, we're talking about it. Then you can literally say, like, Alexa, please set an alarm for 6 p.m. to talk to Amelia about it. So that way it's like, no, we're talking about it, but I'm going to give you some agency that maybe in this moment you don't want to. And I said, oh, okay, I like that. So then later when she came to the house, I was like, Amelia, I asked her that. I said, why, you know, did you see me? At first she said no. I said, well, remember, we're supposed to be truthful. She said, okay, I saw you. I said, why didn't you say hi back? Do you not want me to come? She said, I didn't want you to come. And I said, did you not want me to say hi? She was like, yes, I did not want you to say hi. I said, are you embarrassed? And she nodded. So now I don't know what to do with that information.
Embarrassed of what, though? That there's just someone really excited to see her?
I guess so. Because, you know, I'm the auntie with the pictures and the video. And so maybe I'm doing too much.
Aren't we all doing that?
I mean, she's only six.
Oh, no, baby. Mommy's still working.
Look, so. Look at this one.
I know. Mama's still working. Remember, yes, ma'am?
Rio's like, I don't care nothing about your job. But, yeah, meanwhile, I don't know. So basically, she admitted that, like, I do want you to come. I just don't want you to speak to me. So I don't know what that means. I was like,
I mean, I don't either. Although when
if you're a child psychologist, whatever.
Remember Blue Ivy at the Grammys when like she was two or three or I don't know how old she was.
I remember, yeah.
But she's like, and J and B are just politely clapping, not even over the top. Yeah. And she's like,
it's enough.
Just calm down,
Yes.
I think there is that. Like, I do think a lot of kids are like that. And I mean, I get that from Rio sometimes too, when I'm really excited or I'm doing a fun dance or I'm singing really loud. It's like, Mom, stop it. Yeah. I don't know what that is, but it sounds normal to me. So, hey.
I guess, girl. I was like, so maybe you don't want me to come? She's like, no, I want you to come. I'm like, you want me to come and be silent.
See how she feels when you don't do anything. Just give her the stone. Yeah, give her the silent treatment.
I'm just
going to
be like, I'm going to look at her, maybe wave and just be like, okay, maybe not even. Just like make sure she sees me so she know that I came and just be quiet. And then maybe, there's my brown break. Break from Shady Babies.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, what's the title of that one? Shady Babies.
Shady Baby Break.
man. I'm going to do a break too. Mine's a little bit, it's just different. But I want to do a break. I don't know what the overarching theme is going to be. But two things happened this week. One, this article came out on Essence that people are all talking about, and say what you will about the quality of the article. I used to be a business journalist and I would write stories like this. You write like an opinion article like that. I understand what it takes to like write this kind of piece. And, you do it a little bit because you know it's going to be a conversation starter. And sometimes, I wouldn't necessarily do this, but I do feel like the headline and the style of the article is meant to incite a reaction. You know what I mean? So this article, if you haven't read it yet, it's on essence.com by Jasmine Browley. It says, it's time to admit that being liked is more important than being good at your job, with a picture of Amanda Seals, who's been a guest on Brown Ambition. Remember when we had Amanda Seals on the show?
I know. And that was kind of a big deal.
It was. I mean, it still is. And I don't know if I was talking, maybe I said it live with her or with you at least, but I'm like, why do I feel like I'm not supposed to like Amanda Seals? Like, the internet seems to make me feel like she's done something crazy and wrong. And really, there hasn't been like one thing Amanda Seals has done. She's just very, like, she's extremely opinionated. She's extremely brilliant and smart. And, she's the kind of person who will call out shenanigans when she sees shenanigans. And I'm saying that because the homeboy's behind me, and I completely... it's that whole quote, like, well-behaved women rarely make history, whatever. Like, she cares deeply, I think, about the issues that she speaks about. And she's not one of those people who will thrive in a corporate setting at all. Because you have to have a level of, like, and to be in a corporate setting, it's true. Like, you do have to be personable, or at least be the kind of person other people want to work with. That's just what it's like. Like not a rotten egg, but like a person in a company or a person on a team who is agitating and looking for, looking to question everything and all that. It disrupts the flow, that the 9-to-5, let's just clock in and clock out kind of mentality that a lot of corporate jobs have. It doesn't mean that I don't feel like, someone like Amanda, it's not a bad thing. I also include myself. I found out that I'm not a corporate girly either after a while, because I just get tired of faking and like going with the flow so much. But the fact that the article like used her picture, and it was a really kind of a weak article, just a weak opinion on how, in careers, you do need to be liked, and how your talent is not the only thing that matters. And at the end of it, I'm just kind of like, you're using Amanda Seales as an example here. And I think, again, it's to get clicks because people do feel some kind of way about a lot of what she has to say. But at the end of the article, it sort of just like left it at, yeah, I can see why people don't like her. And it's something we all should think about. And like, if I were a young Black woman in corporate or in, you know, in the working world, and I read this article, I think the takeaway would be nothing. Like, the takeaway would be have opinions and be bold and don't be surprised when people don't want to work with you. Don't be surprised if you lose opportunities. Where had I been writing it, and this is one of the reasons why I'm working on my book, so I can put my voice out there on this, I would embrace the idea of like needing to be a good collaborator when you're in your career, and let yourself be free to a certain extent from everybody liking you. But if you want to be effective and make the impact that you want to have, your attitude, your personality, your approach to the work can hinder you if you're not going to take into consideration the people around you and their thoughts and feelings. And that's just like part of being a person in the world and trying to work with others. That's the reality. I don't think that this necessarily speaks ill of, or, you know, should make us look sideways at, you know, just people in corporate and choosing to work with their friends and all that. Like, at the end of the day, you want to work alongside somebody who is going to make you feel decent most of the time. That article came out. And the second thing that happened is my girl, who I will continue defending until the day I die, Jennifer Lopez, J-Lo, Jenny from the Block, is getting so much hate right now. Talk about someone who does everything to be liked and still y'all come for her. Like, that, it really is like, it shows the other side of this whole Amanda Seales thing. Amanda Seales has all these opinions, is very provocative, you know, doesn't put on a face for you. She's like putting on, you know, just telling it real. And, you know, and then you have J-Lo, who is nothing but the image and the brand and the polish and the glow and all of those things. Perfection, perfection, perfection.
What are the girlies saying?
They cannot stand her right now. So she came out, J-Lo came out. First of all, she went and got back together with Ben Affleck, right?
Okay.
Then she did this. She has a new album out. I forget what it's called, but she did a documentary on Amazon. Well, first she financed her own documentary. She spent like $30 million of her own dollars to create this music video movie. It's like a film, she says, a visual album for all of her songs on the album. And then also did a documentary about the making of that album, which is a model that plenty of pop stars have done.
Yeah.
Do the album, make it, and then do a documentary about the behind the scenes. And I thought she was so brave. Like, say what you will. The music, is the album my favorite J-Lo album? No. Is the, you know, was the movie like a gonna win an Oscar? Like, I don't know. It was something to watch. You know what I mean? Hi, buddy. But I feel like now people are coming for her saying that she's trying too hard to be Jenny from the Block. There's this clip in the documentary where she's like got her real hair out. I honestly thought she was real. She was way more raw and authentic than she needed to be in the documentary. Like, she took her extensions out and she's like, when I wear my hair like this, it just makes me feel like little Jenny running up and down the block. And there's this TikToker who's like, hey, Jenny, the block wants you to go away. The block has sent you a cease and desist. Stop claiming the block. Stop, you know, they were saying like, you're a multimillionaire. Go back to Beverly Hills. Like, you haven't lived in
there. She really did.
Yeah. Like, the woman is from the Bronx, like, and it's a part of her identity. And it just makes me feel like, and you don't get to be Jennifer effing Lopez by caring what people have to say about you, because they have been coming for her since day one and they still are talking about Ashanti. Ashanti's fine. Okay. And she got paid for the work that she did, right? How she can't sing, and how, because she doesn't sing the way that they want, they think that she should be singing, that she doesn't deserve to have a voice or to use it or to make music. And I just want to say for the record, I love a woman who continues to make art because she can, and use her voice because she can, and she has something to say. And I think that takes so much guts, and so, you have to be so brave and so strong to know that you're going to get this kind of reaction. And then just to do your art and make your art anyway, like I will die on this hill. I love Jennifer Lopez. I love Jenny from the Block. And I just think she deserves so much better. And I'm sick of the internet culture being like, oh, Britney, we're so sorry. We shouldn't have been so hard on you. Oh, Monica Lewinsky, we really messed up, didn't we? Oh, Anita Hill. Like,
after you destroyed somebody.
Yeah, Anita Hill. Like, we should have believed you from the beginning. Me too. Me too. Blah, 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 blah. But then we repeat the same cycle. Yeah. We're just going to abuse a mother, a woman, you know, someone's daughter. We're just going to abuse her for trying to make art and put some love and positivity into the world. Like, come on. We can't have it both ways. Yeah. I just want to see her be embraced. And you can say what you want about the art and whether or not it's your kind of art and whatever, but I would like a huge brown break from women being loved 1 minute and then abused the next because of the art. What's happening? The show's over. We're freaking out now.
Perfect timing. We're wrapping it up. Yeah, no, I agree. I think, you know, the internet is not a safe space for most people. And even if it is temporarily safe, it's not a safe space for long. And so as long as you know that, you know, like, it doesn't matter how beloved you are. I mean, you know,
they will bring you down.
Oprah used to be it, and they'd be, you know, they'd be dragged over for filth these days. So yeah, knowing that, that's why, honestly, we should all take our social media breaks because it can be all too much.
And just keep your... Auntie Tiffany has a hard stop in 60 seconds. 1 second, okay? Let me just say my last words. Yes, ma'am? Anyway, just keep, like, if you're someone who's letting the opinions of others get to you, like, wait them out. Like, keep doing your work. Yes. Years will go by. You will, like, you just wait it out. It doesn't matter at the end of the day. Just keep doing your art. Keep making your voice heard. It doesn't matter if people want to hear it or not. Like, Amanda Seales is never going to stop doing what she does. She shouldn't either. Mm-hmm. Keep making your art. Keep saying what matters to you, and you will outlast the critics and the TikTok viral moments and all that BS.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We love you, BA. If you have not left us a review, what are you waiting for? You have 1 second, Mandy, to, like, you can find a quick review.
Oh, what, do I have 1 second? You tell me, girl. I got a second. What do you think? I pulled them out of nowhere. I have to, like, go into this thing. What about
you? Girl, you know, we read the reviews at the end. Now you got to be ready. If you can leave us a review on Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen, reviews help us get views. Reviews lead to views. If you found this episode interesting, fun, engaging, wonderful, tremendous,
stupendous.
Send it to your,
that's some to your pig.
Send it to a friend, a colleague, a bestie, a sister, a cousin, a mama. We'll try to review. We'll do it next week. We'll try to read your reviews so you know that, you know, we're serious about our business. But we do have a lot of really great reviews. So
Okay, March 22nd, dynamic duo from German Boxer. I love the energy and how financial topics are discussed in super simple ways. You go, gals. And then Essentially Mom says, I know you care about the girlies, Tiffany. Fellow and future BA girlies, listen to me. Sometimes information is helpful and useful, and sometimes knowing I'm not alone in my failures gives me encouragement to get back on the horse. So if you've made mistakes or want information about avoiding mistakes, give this podcast a listen. Mandy is vulnerable in sharing her challenges, but Tiffany drops ways for Mandy and us to walk through them. Good stuff here, period. Aww, that's really sweet.
Thank you, especially after reading out, you know, this is a Mandy question. Tiffany, you shut up. No, she didn't say that.
And she's trying to make sure she routes it to the right operator, okay? Press 2 for career questions.
No, that's funny, though. I don't mind that. All right, so listen to us on Friday. Well, as you know, now we do throwback like Mondays. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you get BA 3 times a week. How lucky are you?
Amazing.
Yeah. All right, until next week. Well, not next week, until Friday, y'all. Bye.
Bye.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.